Welcome to Turning Pages, a series of in-depth conversations with authors about their works.
All right, well, little by little, a graphic novel telling the story of past guest here on the program, Michael Redhead Champagne. Sonia Ballantyne joins me on the program to discuss it. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. So what's your relationship with Michael? Like, did you know him before this project? Is that...
Back in the day, it was like 2011 or something, but like back in the day, me and Michael had been introduced because a student at Red River College had done a book on Indigenous people of note, and Michael was one of the subjects, and me as well, but I got to meet Michael for the first time on that when we were doing presentations for the book at the time, Nishi Commons. And the community of Indigenous people in Winnipeg is very small. So, of course, like, you're often going to run into each other. And so I always saw him at events and stuff. And like, we knew each other, like, not as well as we do now, but like, pretty, like, every time I'd see him, I'd say, hey, and always loved to see him. And so it was always a good time to run into him at events and such.
Sure enough. So what sort of prompted the project? I'm curious about kind of the genesis of telling this story then.
Yeah, so I was approached by Portage and Main High Water Press to basically think of a bunch of Indigenous people of note that I would love to write about and see, like, and submit a listing of who I would want to write about if I were given, like, carte blanche to do so. And Michael was always on those lists that I would create for Portage and Main. And so Michael was really interested in... my idea for a book on him, which was basically the idea of a superhero origin story of who he was. And so he was really compelled by that idea. And so we spent about, I think it was two or three meetings together where we just discussed what kind of story he was interested in telling from the point of view of before he became an activist, or before he became who he is now, just because I always love that idea of figuring out the why. Because I recently did a documentary about professional wrestling and Indigenous communities. And professional wrestling is a notoriously difficult sport, even if you're talented at it, even if you're like a one in a generation talent or a phenom, and you still have this struggle for it. And so it was something I was really interested in finding out why people choose to do a notoriously difficult path. And Michael has always been one of those people that never takes the easy way out. And so I was always compelled by that idea. And so I wanted to figure out what inspired him to become the person he was.
So you saw a parallel with the wrestlers that you chronicled, that like getting knocked down to the mats in a difficult thing?
With Michael, it was something because apathy is something that is very easy to... apathy is often very side by side with an Indigenous community, like, because like you're often facing all these obstacles constantly, especially when you're from a reserve or from the inner city of Winnipeg. And it's something I saw a lot within my own community. Michael was also somebody who mentioned that seeing this apathy, or like this acceptance of the way things were, was something that really set him off on the path that he wanted to go on of helping people. And it was something I also noticed in my wrestling documentary, where people had seen all of this hardship or had experienced all this hardship and decided to continue because this thing brought so much joy to them. And so Michael's work brings this joy to him because he is legitimately like on the ground floor helping people directly. And like I actually was out with him for lunch yesterday, and we were discussing that idea that he and I don't believe in like the so-called rules of how to get people help, because like he and I were complaining about how we're often asked how to solve these social issues we talk about that impact Indigenous people. And he and I were like, people don't like our simple answers. It's like, well, just give people housing, give people universal basic income, give people safe injection sites and stuff like that. And so it was just fun to talk to him, because it's always such a great time to hear him matter-of-factly say how simple it is to solve these problems if people would just get out of their own way. And so yeah, like I hope it comes across a little bit in the book about Michael not seeing the point in letting infrastructure and like government red tape get in the way of helping people. And so yeah, that was something I really loved about my writing Michael's story.
You have him attending a conference in Thunder Bay,
Yes.
That he stands up to a speaker in it.
Yeah.
And I'm curious, like, was that exactly how it transpired? Or like, 'cause,
Yeah,
you know,
like
obviously there can be an embellishment for a superhero origin story, right? Like,
oh yeah, there was like and that was something that I didn't embellish at all because I think I embellished a little bit about Michael's initial hesitancy to speak up because Michael is not somebody who is afraid to speak up. And so he was telling, I remember when he told me this story because like initially when we first started writing the book, we would get on Zoom calls like for maybe like one or like three or four times together just to discuss like stories from his childhood. And he told this story and I thought it was such a Michael thing to have done to say to this guy who was like a keynote speaker at a kids conference that he was wrong and that it was wrong of him to assume that it was somebody's own fault for being in a situation like being homeless, like being a panhandler, that sort of thing. And so I was really like so drawn to Michael's idea of justice because when you're a child, justice is so right or wrong, black or white, it's such a simple concept. And as you get older, we tend to complicate that. And so I love that idea that he never lost that idea that some things are just right. Like some things are just. Like there we were actually discussing that yesterday at our lunch meeting. The idea of so like because we were talking about allyship, and he's like, I don't like allies, I actually like accomplices. Because allyship is basically just the idea of wearing an orange shirt day on September 30th and not doing anything else. Accomplishment, being an accomplice means helping us and being there on the ground. And so I was always so, people always think that Michael is like this, I don't want to say Sesame Street, but like this person who is very like doesn't rock the boat, but he rocks the boat just in a positive way. So that was something I really loved about that story he told about the conference, just because it was like there are so many adults that wouldn't stand up. There was probably so many adults in that audience when he spoke up that thought the same thing about this keynote speaker. But he was the only one that stood up and said something. And so it was something I really loved. And the idea of kids being able to stand up to adults when they know that they're right, like the child themselves, was something I really wanted to encourage in our readers just because I grew up well, like I was a native child as well. Like I grew up on a reserve. And one of the things that sucks about being a kid, especially when you're a child who has to deal with so much obstacles and like racism and sexism, whatever, you feel very powerless. And one of the things I wanted to ensure in this book was the idea that you can have power by using your voice and by standing up for what you believe is right, because it was something that I really loved when Michael was talking about that. Like he basically changed the world by just saying like, I don't think you're right. I don't think this is a like you should be helping people to get better access to care. Like that is your job as like this keynote speaker who is also a politician. And so I really love that idea that not that he shamed this person, but that he just said like it is your job to ensure like the members of your community are doing all right. And so you shouldn't be looking down on these people who need your help. And so it just sounded like such a storybook thing for a child to say. And I was like, and Michael, of course, actually said it. So it was something I really wanted to ensure was in the book. And so I was like I knew people weren't going to believe it, but I'm like, no, like it actually happened. And like Michael like may have been a little bit nervous when he spoke up initially, but I'm like, I would rather present this scene as him being hesitant and him being nervous because he's a child, he's a little kid, and have him nervously speak up about what he thought was right, rather than not speak up at all because he was too nervous. And so I think that is the more realistic idea, that he nervously decided to stand up for himself. I think that will inspire a bunch of little kids to also be like, as long as you're able to say it, even if your voice shakes, go forward and say it, because it matters. And so, yeah, I was really glad to write that part.
Earlier in the book, you have him getting on the bus and there's a Indigenous person getting arrested by the cops. And yeah. I was curious about, like, he's nervous in that instance too, and he doesn't speak up. They get on the bus, they go away. Like, was that to kind of like draw that parallel to like when he does stand up to someone later on?
Yeah. I think it was something that I really wanted to do, because when you're a kid, like one of the things I always wanted to incorporate in the stories I write about children is this idea that kids notice things. Kids notice very quickly how unjust the world can be, especially if you're a child who is a person of color, Indigenous, having a very... like being different in any way makes you aware that the world treats people differently. And so it was, so to have it be at odds with this idea that the world is an ultimately just place, and to be confronted with the idea that it isn't, was something that was so jarring. And I loved whenever Michael would talk about that idea of seeing this hardship in his own community, and like all this difficulty, and like police presence and that sort of thing. I was like, I just wanted to present this idea of like what it's like to be an Indigenous kid who has this incredibly strong idea of what is justice, and have him faced with the sometimes complicated and sometimes very gray idea of what the world is actually like. Because I knew I wanted the one risk I knew I didn't want to I knew we were taking with the story is like, I didn't want to present Michael as like this Pollyanna character who was unaware of the true extent of what the world is like. I always felt that it was I've always felt it was a very punk rock thing to do, to focus on hope when you yourself have dealt with hopeless situations, because it is very easy to have hope if you are a Caucasian rich man who grew up going to Eton College in England and like Oxford and stuff like that. It's very easy to be hopeful. But when you are an adopted child of Indigenous ancestry who sees people like yourself and like your family being manhandled on the street and being mistreated because of their heritage, it was something I wanted to ensure that like, we told, because I wanted to make sure like Michael is not like a Pollyanna character. Michael has seen some things that have like that children shouldn't really have to deal with, and this is what makes him such a strong advocate for his community and ensuring that people understand like it's not right to treat people in a negative way just because they're homeless, or just because they're Indigenous, or just because they need more assistance, or they need help, or they suffer from addictions. And so I was just like, I wanted, well, as much as you can in a graphic novel where you're trying to make, where you're trying to present a character as a superhero, trying to make sure that people knew the real Michael too. I hope that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, you're talking about how he was looking for accomplices rather than allies, and trying to make sure he's not Pollyanna. Like, he's more Batman than Superman in this origin
story. Trying to make sure, because that was something I also have a graphic novel memoir coming out in April that was partly inspired by Michael, because I had such a great time writing this book. I had such a great time writing about somebody like Michael, because when I was growing up, I didn't have any Indigenous heroes that looked like me. Yeah, there was older people who were like, my grandparents' age, who like had books and stuff like that, but it was always books about the loss of community and the loss of our heritage and the loss of our land, and it was always so sad to read. And so I was like, I wonder, like, when I was asked by Portage and Maine to present book like subjects for books that I would want to write, I always knew I wanted to write about people who were like my age or younger, or my generation or younger, just to show other Native kids like me who thought like there are no cool Native people who are doing such badass things, for lack of a better word. I wanted to, because the hero I needed when I was a little girl who wanted to see other Native people like me doing cool things and living in the modern era, that person is still needed. And so it was something I wanted to do with Michael, to ensure that this book was a way of saying, like, Michael is just a kid who decided that the world wasn't working fast enough for him to accept all the hardship and all the terrible things that he saw. And so he's like, well, I might as well do it. Like, what's stopping me from doing it? And I think that's ultimately the sum up of what makes a superhero, is the idea of not accepting things as they are, because it's how it's always been. Because he and I always hate that idea of like things remaining the same just because it's how it's always been. And so that's what I hope people take from the book, is the idea that even the smallest changes can be brought about by you saying, like, this isn't right. This isn't the way it should be. This isn't the way, like, there should be things in place to ensure that people don't fall through the cracks. And I was really inspired by that idea that Michael thinks, well, and I believe too, Michael believes and thinks that solutions are a lot easier to come up with if people just get out of their own way and stop being like, well, that's not how things are done, or that's like, that will cost too much money. What if somebody uses that money for the wrong reasons? And he's like, let people surprise you. And so that's something I really love about him, like his idea of being so optimistic while really fully aware of the reality of life. And so it's like, yeah, again, like it's punk rock to be hopeful when you yourself have experienced the hopelessness of life. And so I hope that comes across in the book.
For sure. Now, you had mentioned before about the documentary, and I was curious about, like, is there a transfer of skills between like documentary work and this kind of work, like storytelling wise?
Well, I think there's a lot of like crossover, specifically because like when I start a documentary, I am always looking for the why, like looking for what makes this person the person they are right now, like what has inspired that. And that was something I was looking for when I first started with Michael, because I think Michael and I actually became closer friends because of the meetings we had to write this book, because I got to know more about him. I got to find out that he and I were both like very similar growing up. Like, we were both huge fans of the book series Animorphs when we were children. We loved books when we were kids, just because they were like our favorite form of escapism as children. And I when I create documentaries, it's a lot more you can't get as internal as you want to be as you can be in a book, because like a lot of the book about Michael is a lot of his internal like observations about what he's going through. And I always love that a little bit more than the idea of in film you have to show everything. And the problem with having to show everything is sometimes you can be very on the nose, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So it's sometimes people will accuse me of being hokey because I want to make sure that people get the point of like hope in times of despair is way more important than just giving into despair. And so I one of the things I love more about reading books, or like creating books and writing them, is that once the decision is made for us to write that book, I get to write it and nothing gets in the way of it being completed. Whereas in a film, I spend maybe 6 or 7 or maybe even a year's worth of time just developing the idea and trying to sell it around. And sometimes the idea doesn't make it past like my MacBook or the email addresses. And so it's a lot more fulfilling sometimes to write books, just because once they give me the go ahead to go ahead with it, like the level of pre-production, for lack of a better word, is way less taxing for a book, because I don't have to come up with so much pre-production biz to get an idea sold as a book. Whereas with a film, I have to have so much background and so much stuff ready in order to impress a producer or like a broadcaster or something, and then have them say no, like it's not the right time or something, is always something I'm just like, darn it, I should get back into writing books, because at least like before I even start, like the massive amounts of work that are necessary to create a book or to make a graphic novel go, I don't start doing that until like the confirmation is there that yes, you're writing a book. Whereas in a film, you're like, you do almost all of the pre-production except filming, and then you're told like, nah, it's not a good idea right now and stuff like that. So I'm like, dang. So I was just thinking a few days ago about how I wanted to stay in publishing and in books, just because I was like, well, it feels nice to be able to create something and actually have it get out there. Whereas, yeah, like some of my film projects, I'm like, darn it, another no. And so, yeah, I'm just like going where, I guess I'm going where the wind takes me for the, if I could use a hackneyed like Pocahontas term. So it's like, because I just love creating. I love creating stories about heroic Indigenous people that have faced the dark sides of what happens to our people in this country, and facing it not only with a determination to make it better for other people, but with this, with a legitimate fear that like, what if I get it wrong? What if I don't do it right? What if I, like, having this realistic idea of what a hero, what a superhero is in our own world, and the reality of what it's like to be people now. And so it's something I hope comes across in the book of like, anybody can be a superhero if they decide to live by those ideals of deciding to speak up for people who can't speak up for themselves, or maybe can't speak up for themselves. And yeah, like, it's funny you mentioned the Batman thing, because both Michael and I have always talked about that idea that people see us as Supermen, whereas we are technically Batman, because like, we have faced hardship, we know darkness, and deciding to become a hero anyway is such a hardcore thing to do. He and I want to be Superman. He and I want to be Professor X. We want to be X-Men, but he and I are actually Magneto and Killmonger and stuff like that. Like, we have the building blocks to be a villain, but we decided to become a hero. And so it's just like, it's just funny for us, because we both are obsessed with villains who are right, who have like, like, because he and I are both obsessed with the X-Men villain Magneto, because we were like, well, no, there's nothing, or like, he's not wrong. So it's like, we may doubt his idea, like we may doubt his processes, but he has some good ideas, he and I will always talk about. And so we wanted to ensure like this idea in the book that like, how easy it is to give in to despair and choosing not to give in to despair. Because yeah, I think he and I, that's the difference between our Magneto side and our Superman side, is like, we actively choose to be Superman, whereas like, it would be so easy for us to become Magnetos.
Well, maybe this book is like the syllabus that Magneto would use when he's teaching the New Mutants, right? When he takes over for Charles.
He's like, yes, like this idea of yes, the world is bad, but here's why you can make it better. And so, yeah, I think that's something I really wanted to get forward with this book, and especially with the idea of Michael, of who he is, just because, yeah, like, again, that whole idea that people think that just because he's very, I don't want to say soft, because that's the wrong word, where he's this very wholesome person who is very full of love and light and all this other stuff, but he shouldn't be discredited because of that, because like, oh, he hasn't experienced real hardship in his life. I'm like, no, like the reason why he is such a compelling person is because he has faced darkness. He has faced hardship, and he chooses to be a person who looks to the light, who looks to the good that is being done, and decides like that there's already so much hardship in the world, so why should I contribute to that idea? And so, yeah, like, I'm glad that the book is getting the attention that it deserves, just because of like, I want there to be more Indigenous content that's about, yes, there's so much obstacles and there's so much hardships for our people, but choosing to take the light path, so if to make a Star Wars reference, choosing to be a Jedi is way stronger and more badass than deciding to become a Sith like all of Canada thinks we're going to become. And so it's like doing the hard thing, like he and I were discussing that yesterday. It's so easy to become a Magneto. It's way harder to choose to become a Superman. And so, yeah, he and I actively choose to become Superman every single day. So maybe one day we'll choose Magneto, but it's not today.
Well, speaking of him choosing the light, you represent it as like a glow from within in the
Yes.
book. Was that your idea or Rael's idea?
Yeah, because initially the book was called Halo. Like that was what I called it in my pre-production work for it, because like there is some sort of like every time you talk to Michael, even when he himself is saying that he is a little bit depressed or sad that day, he still has this inner light that is so compelling and that is so like you believe him when he talks about things, about how easy it is to make problems disappear for our community if we just like get out of our own way. And so I love that idea of like trying to present this idea of him being this light for his community in a lot of ways, because I've seen for myself how this light in other Indigenous children is extinguished just because of the facing the reality of being an Indigenous child growing up on a reserve or in the inner city and experiencing all that entails, the racism, the sexism, the classism, and deciding to kindle that light and showing how that light is kindled by others. Because like Michael himself, when we were writing the book, was saying like he was heading down a dark path, and if it hadn't been for his teachers and his family and people who were supportive of him, like supportive of that light and kindled that light, it was something that he sees necessary. Because like again, a flower can't grow without support, without water, without nourishment, that sort of thing, without sunlight. And kids are the same way. Like they need that nourishment, they need that support, they need something to make them aware that like the way they see life is also the way somebody else sees life. And so I hope that that is something that people take away from the book, that yes, being an Indigenous child in this country is very difficult, and that's why we need to support them. Like that's why we need to support kids like me and Michael, because it is necessary to ensure that their light doesn't fade. Because children who lose their glow or lose their halo become people who have no hope, who have no self-preservation, people who have no desire to change things because they've seen like how terrible life can be. And so I'm like, I like so that was something me and Michael didn't want to shy away from, that life is hard, and that's why you should make it every choice you can to ensure that you make it easier. If life is 90% things you can't control, then you better make damn sure that the 10% you can is something positive, is something good, is something that makes you withstand the 90% that could sometimes be cruddy. And so I hope that like is something that people get inspired by, because it's not just something that can be taken in by Indigenous kids. It can be taken in by adults of non-Indigenous backgrounds. It can be taken in by Somali girls dealing with the idea of being both Western and being but also having to live up to their heritage and their culture as like hijabi girls, having people who are trans having to deal with the idea of being both like having two identities and not being entirely sure which one fits them the best. And so I think that because yeah, me and Michael are always worried that our stories might not be impactful to non-Indigenous people, but I was like, no, this is going to be impactful to people because there's so many children who feel powerless, regardless of their background or who they are. And I think this gives a lot of power back to children to make them realize that they can change the world. And I'm glad Michael was the subject of this book, just because he's the best representation for that idea that kids can change the world with optimism and determination and just wanting to see a better world. And so yeah, like it was fun to write just for that topic.
Well, the book is Little by Little, You Can Change the World, as the subject, the subtitle says. Sonia, thanks very much for taking some time to talk about it, and congratulations on its release.
Thanks a lot. Thank you again for having me.